This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bombastic, audacious, revolutionary, rash, outraged, organised, assertive.
Broad.
On Joy
94.9. Rien, toi, maintenant?
Bah non, pourquoi?
Et elle, c'est ta sœur?
Mais j'appelle mes parents si tu me crois pas. T'es sérieuse, là? C'est pas la mer à voir, franchement, tout le monde y passe.
Bah t'as qu'à manger le tien, alors.
Le mien, je l'ai déjà mangé l'année dernière, sinon je serais pas là. Allez, je te regarde.
Première leçon de séduction, être une pute avec éducation. Se moquer des garçons, préférer l'équitation. S'amuser de la fellation, censurer l'appellation. Et assurer pendant l'action, hein. Acide, citrique, effet renom, faire grimper le métronome. 1, 2, 3, 4, stop. T'es plis mon âme, je vais te faire du bien. Tu vas m'adorer, quand je te ferai du mal, tu vas savourer. Entre nous, ça va pas durer, c'est ta faute, t'étais trop laid. Pour la nuit de noces, je vais te noyer dans ma piscine. Je boufferai tes os, tu t'étoufferas à la cyprine. Chérie, va faire du sport, tu feras un joli cadavre. Je pratique le sexe après la mort, connard. Je te préfère dur et froid, t'es moins bafard.
Oh, nice.
This is Sonia for Broad on Joy 94.9. We made a mistake. I didn't have the recorder on, but we have now. We're talking to Julia Ducournau, the creator of Raw, or Grave, as it is in French. And I'll get her to describe the film. It's had its premiere here in Australia at Monsterfest 2016.
Raw is the story of Justine, who is a young teenage girl. She's 16. She comes from a family where everyone's a veterinarian and a vegetarian, and since she's gifted, she enters her first year in vet school, where her parents used to be students and where her older sister is also a student. She gets there, and since the first night, hazing starts, and she's asked to do something that she's never done before, meaning eating raw meat for the first time.
Some of the words that came up when I was watching was basically you've got a strong female characters, they're sisters, and those two actors working together. You spoke in the Q&A last night too about that relationship and getting the actors to hang out,
yeah,
and, you know, spend time together. What was that like for them?
Absolutely natural, actually. I mean, Garance and Ella, who plays the two sisters, clicked instantly. They really have matching personalities. And Ella is funny because Ella in her family is the older sister, and she plays the older sister. And Garance in her family is the youngest sister, and she plays the youngest sister. So they're completely related to this dynamic. And yeah, it worked perfectly.
As far as the story goes, what inspired you to make a film about this sort of subject?
It's interesting how, when I thought about cannibalism, I thought it's funny because cannibals are not werewolves, they're not vampires, and yet they're always qualified as being monstrous or inhuman. And I think there is something to dig in there, in this like mass denial of the fact that cannibalism is completely part of humanity. It actually belongs to the three big taboos of humanity, with murder and incest. And it means that it is in us, that we actually... we are born with this in us, with the conscience of what it is, and the conscience of this line that we should not overcross,
yeah,
I think.
So
yeah.
Good.
And so I thought that it would be interesting to have a movie that puts the audience in the shoes of a cannibal, to make them understand her feelings, her changes, and to fear for her, to feel for her. And to understand that she's in touch with the dark part that in dark part that is in all of us, and that being in touch with this dark part actually makes her more human than all of us, because she's not in denial.
Yeah, true. It's a really interesting character. We're kind of like her learning about what are these rules, because you start off with the, you know, crazy. what she goes through.
Yep.
She's sort of like scrambling to find out. She's kind of blinded a little bit to things.
And then she sees, then she knows.
Feet first, yeah. So as far as women and girls' stories, sisters' stories, is this a universal story about relationships between women in this case?
Well, the thing is, it is also that. It's not only about that. At the beginning, the characters were not even sisters in my head. It just came after after two or three drafts of script. But it was important to me in the end that they are, because there is something that is very interesting in the relationship between sisters and brothers, is that they go from love to hate and love to hate again and back and forth. And you don't need to explain what's in between. Everyone understands that this is implied by this bond. And I think it's incredibly cinematographic, because it means that you don't need to shoot boring scenes where you would see people saying, so you told me that last month and I really did not appreciate, and no one wants to see this scene. It's too boring and domestic. So basically, it was really important for me to show this back and forth with no explanation, and to actually portray a separation that is made in pain for both of them. I actually thought about this duet as being a cell that would divide, that would do the mitosis, as they say. And when a cell divides, there is always some lost material on the side, which means that there is something that is being torn in the tissue. And when you get these two cells in the end, they look alike very much. But however, they're very different, because they are no longer the same cell. So they're incredibly different. And this is exactly how I thought this duet. With the pain, it implies to separate, but the obligation for them to separate. Mm.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's almost an existentialist.
Absolutely.
Concept. Mm. And yourself being French, a French educated, our philosophy is a big part of your...
Huge.
...upbringing and
yes.
education.
Yes, absolutely.
Are there any particular philosophies that maybe you think... by osmosis can be felt in the
Of course, existentialism has a big place, but yeah, in my upbringing and in what I still read today and stuff, I thought a lot. I read some books by Lévi-Strauss, who's a philosopher slash anthropologist who studied a lot the tribes in everywhere around the world, actually, in Africa, in South America, up the North Pole and stuff like that. And he studied the rites that they have, and some of them are cannibals.
Yes.
And I read this for this, because I wanted to understand how we could have another point of view on that and stuff. So, and what it said about humanity again. And so I'm also very influenced by psychoanalysis, but in different ways. I think somehow psychoanalysis and horror movies are not very different.
Yes. Yes, I mean, I'm from New Zealand or Aotearoa, so we're only about four generations from experiencing cannibalism in some respects.
Wow.
As I was saying, apparently it tastes like pork. We call it long pork.
Maybe.
You've got that, certainly that background and everything. As a woman filmmaker, are there other women filmmakers you can tell us about that you admire and respect?
For example, I'm thinking about Lucille Adjei-Halilovic, who's French as well, who did her latest movie is called Evolution. She had done Innocence before, one of the very rare representatives of the elevated genre in France, and maybe the only one actually. And I have tremendous respect, because she's an amazing, amazing director, and she has terrific ideas for shots, and she's incredibly talented. Never met her, actually. But I'm very, very impressed by her work. I would love to meet also Annalilia Merpour. I haven't seen her latest one, The Bad Batch, but I saw her first one that I really, really like. I don't know if I pronounce her name well, but you get it. Fortunately, it's starting to happen in a way that we see more and more female directors in general, and more specifically in the genre business. I hope it's a real door opening. I tend to be by nature very skeptical about human nature. So my worst fear, and I really hope it's only a fear and doesn't become a reality, is that the exposure that we get these days, because of all the dramas there have been, because in Cannes they acknowledged that there were not enough female directors represented and stuff, I just hope all that is not to make amends and is not a trend.
Yeah.
That for me would be horrible.
Yeah.
Because a trend is doomed to die, we all know that, very quickly
fetish.
Actually. And we are not trend material,
yeah.
We are people.
Yeah. It has to be consistent. And also, I think, as you would understand too, has to be consistent with quality. So
absolutely.
Not about
exactly. Quotas and stuff, absolutely. No way.
I think
totally as well. That would be insulting, actually. So, yeah, the thing is that for me, we always tend to blame the festivals because, in a way, it's the most visible way that we acknowledge, oh, but there are not so many women. Oh, you know, like it happens. But no, it's way more deeper than this, and it has a lot to do about production. It has a lot to do about not taking risks on women and from as many sexist reasons as you can imagine. And I really do hope that the change is happening right now at this level and not only at the levels as festival, as I say, on the surface, you know, where you actually see things.
And not just directors. I mean, there's a Gender Matters program here in Australia, with Screen Australia, and they're looking at getting just the people on the floor, basically. People like the technicians, to make sure there are women trained to feel comfortable with coming to me. Gaffers, all those things.
But yeah, I agree. I mean, the idea that you can also do this job as a woman, and there is no reason why this should be only masculine.
Not everyone wants to be director.
Actually, I've been a grip girl when I was in film school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got a good experience around.
I loved it. Yeah, I love being on set all the time, and I love doing manual work and physical thing. I remember, how do you call it when you stretch your leg like this in different position? You know what the ballerinas do?
Oh, yes.
What do you say in English?
A split,
yeah, exactly. So I remember once there was a very slow track back that we had to do. It was very, very slow and in very short distance. And it had to be only one movement. And no guy could do it because there was always a little hiccup when they would change hands, you know.
Yes, right.
And so I just did a split position because at the time I was doing dancing and I did it in one movement and I was like, bam, nailed it.
Oh, well, scary too because like, hello, accident.
No, I was on the side of the truck, it's okay.
And of course, Sexuality, Looking at Philosophy, it's one of the few films, as one person mentioned last night after the movie, was the female gaze. We don't often see that, to enjoy looking at bodies, in particular, I can't say his name, but the wonderful, is it Rabah Nai, or Adrian, the character?
Oh, yeah, Rabah.
Sorry. But he's playing soccer, like an impromptu soccer game, and, we're really looking at that body. That's not, doesn't happen very often. Should happen more.
You're right, it's true. And actually here it's a very, also something that I did not want this gaze to be glamorized in any way, because actually her gaze is very, very disquieting and uneasy.
Yes,
because she's, you know, the way he's shot with the teleobjective, it's very lively, we move with him, the camera moves a lot, and he's on the part, he's on the side of life. She is in a still shot, and she's alone in it. She's in the middle of it.
Too.
The light is different, and her eyes, her look is very, very... it's really, really still, you know. She's just staring.
And, of course, the blood flows.
And, of course, at the end.
Completely connected with that.
Yeah, I bet she's boiling inside, you know, and it's starting to pop out, you know. I always love this thing with, you know, the inside coming outside.
Yes.
And this is how it's related to psychoanalysis and stuff. Return of the Repressed can actually take form in horror movies and in body horror especially.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even the kind of the eczema, the skin rash she has.
Like, yeah, of course.
You know, again, psychologically.
I wanted this rash to be very red and to be in shapes of, you know, little... when you burn yourself, you know, your skin does...
rises.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I wanted to look like a bit like this, like she was actually boiling from inside and there was a fire, you know.
Wow. Very painful and very prescient and, you know. So, look, you mentioned also yesterday some favourite horror films. Could you, off the top of your head, a list of ones that you still love? You'd always say, hey, gotta watch that film, you know.
You mean classics or gems?
Yeah, classics.
Well, of course, Texas Chainsaw Massacre remains a must-do for me. Suspiria.
Oh, yes.
I know. No, they've said that they've been remaking it for 20 years. I am waiting for the movie, but I'm not sure I actually want to see it because it's too much of one of my favorites. I really love it. The Fly, of course. Oh, The Fly. I repeat it because there was this little...
Cronenberg,
all-time favorites.
I love the twins one. What's it called?
Dead Ringers. Oh my god, this one is... It's an opera, it's a tragedy, it's beautiful.
They walked out of the cinema and vomited in the bin.
For Dead Ringers? Why? Which is not disgusting.
Stay with someone like that.
But no. It's not. It's beautiful, it's not disgusting at all. Oh my god, but so weird.
Never running back, anyway. Yeah, Oculus, like... Have you seen Cronenberg's son's work, Antiviral?
No, I haven't, actually.
Oh, wow.
I know his daughter's pictures and stuff. I like what she... Actually, she took a picture of me in Toronto, perhaps to meet her, and her pictures are really gorgeous.
Really amazing.
And she has a way to direct that is very interesting. And she knows, but you see that she has her own method and everything.
Maybe it's genetic.
Probably.
Is filmmaking genetic for you, storytelling?
No. My parents are doctors.
Oh, wow.
But they inspired me a lot.
I bet.
Because I really, this is the thing that I love about Cronenberg's movies, is the, I think the way he shows the bodies is almost medical somehow, and there is this distant and this frontality that is absolutely unyielding and unapologetic, and he always like makes you not have a choice, like you really can't look anywhere else. It's always frontal, not a lot of camera movement, and you really... It's always very well framed, very symmetrical, and you can't look anywhere else. And I think this is the way my parents see death and mortality and bodies in general. You have to have a distance, but you have to be very aware that it is going to happen and very okay with that, and you can't look anywhere else. Right? I'm the opposite of that, so I'm fascinated with this.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a profession, different profession, but you're very analytical and you can see you dissecting every scene.
Yeah,
and
yeah, absolutely.
And the music, of course, Jim Williams,
yeah,
amazing.
I know.
Harpsichord or Gothic, Baroque?
Organ and a harpsichord, yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Finally, what's up next for you? Is anything you can...
No. Oh, I wish. I wish, but it's 12 years studies, huh? I can't, I'm too old for that, unfortunately.
Right, yeah.
I can't be an intern at 50, you know?
No, that's tough, yeah. What would you like to do?
I'm writing my next feature,
oh, yeah,
of course. And you know about this thing with staying in genre, I think I talked about it at the panel. But it's always weird that people ask me this question because of, this is just the way I express myself. It's not. It's my first theatrical feature, but before this I did a TV feature. And before that I did a short, and before that I went to film school and I did many shorts. All of them have been crossovers with body horror.
Yeah.
All of them. And people always ask me, are you going to stay in the genre? But I don't think that it's not whimsical on me to be in genre. It's just that I express myself like this. And I don't think that people ask Rob Zombie this question. I do believe that it's because I'm a girl. Unfortunately.
Certainly not boring. And wonderful, wonderful work. And I'm looking forward to, we're all looking forward to your future projects.
Thank you.
We wish you all the best for what you're doing, Julia Ducournau.
Hi everyone, it's Julia Ducournau, director of RAW on Broad on Joy 949.
Thank you.
Presents Films for Feminists. Is this a love of cinema gone mad? Is this the impossible dream of finding films that represent women and girls in a way most intelligent, most equal, most inclusive and intersectional? Is this feminism on film? With Sonia Hammer, who stars as a woman who lives for the impossible dream of a world of cinema where women are paid equally to men. Is this just fantasy? A film fantasy. No, it's real. Uncovering old and new films for women and girls about women and girls. Listen to us Monday nights on Broad. Films for Feminists on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.